Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 28th day of October 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Get the latest information from the state statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa. We'll update the rest of the 18 reporting states for corn and soybeans as well. And we'll take a quick look at what's happening in the world of agricultural weather with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers now as they finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. $3.64 was the final price for December corn. It was up a penny and a quarter for the day. The March at 3.78, up 1 1/4, and or rather 1 1/2. And May futures at 3.86 3/4, a penny and a half higher, a penny and a quarter higher there. And July futures at 3.93 3/4, up 1. September up 3/4 at $4.5. And December futures at 4.08 1/2, up 0.5 for the day. From the soy complex, nearby beans at $10.08, 2 higher. January at 10.15, up 2 1/4. March at 10.21 on a settlement, up 1 1/4. And the May futures 2 cents higher at $10.27 3/4. July soybeans 10.33 1/4, 2 3/4 higher, and the November of next year at $9.90 1/2. They were 7 3/4 cents lower. Bean meal futures on the afternoon down $1.70 at $3.75.10, and the bean oil for the day at $32.79 56 higher. Livestock, live cattle futures at $169.50, a nickel lower for the day in the October. December at $167.87 1/2, up 5 cents. Feeder cattle at 238.20, down 12 1/2 cents. November 234, down 80 cents for the afternoon. And lean hogs on the day at $90.17 1/2, $1.12 1/2 higher. February futures there at $89.30, up $1.07 1/2 for the day. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
In the outside markets at this hour, crude oil futures at $81.35 a barrel, or 35 cents higher for the afternoon. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.49. That's about a penny and a half higher for the day. And the gasoline on the wholesale price at $2.18 7/10 cents is a penny and 7/10 cents higher. Natural gas at $3.65 6/10, 9 1/2 cents higher. And ethanol futures for the day are now trading the lead option November at $1.79 2/10, up 3 2/10 cents. Dow Jones Industrial Average up about 107 points at 16,863. Gold futures near $1,228 or 75 cents lower for the day. And the U.S. dollar at 85.475 is down 0.086 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area for the rest of the afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 62 and a west wind today at 18 miles an hour. It will gust all the way to 26, and then this evening clear skies, a low of 39 degrees on a west wind at 7 to 9. Tomorrow sunny and 54, west northwest winds at 7 to 11, gusting to 15, and Wednesday night partly cloudy with a low of 37 degrees. Again, the winds out of the west northwest at 3 to 6. Partly sunny on Thursday with a high of 56. The winds will shift to the south southwest at 3 to 6. They'll stay there through Thursday night, mostly cloudy and a low of 39. Friday sunny and a high of 48. No wind to speak up, and Friday night mostly clear with a low of 27 degrees. More on the weather forecast in the growing regions at the bottom of this half hour.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It is a Tuesday afternoon, and we always talk with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And well, the marketplace has been interesting, which is relatively new. We've had some ups and downs. Maybe I should start with this question. Do you suppose that we really have found the harvest lows? I know they're there, but will they stay there?
You know, it seems as we're looking at things now that we've moved up enough on this technical correction, Todd, that probably we'd have to say the harvest lows are in. We could possibly, in the last part of the corn harvest, you know, with basis levels maybe being wide when we don't have homes for some stuff, but probably as far as the futures trade is concerned, we've probably found the bottoms.
When you look around the area, how much corn or soybeans left?
Well, you know, we're supposed to have 30% of the beans left in our area. We're probably down to a 20%, you know, immediate area. We're cleaning up beans pretty fast. But as we drive and get a few miles away from Newmarket, why, there's quite a few beans on the side roads, and that's still out there. So, but a lot of them were ate up over the weekend, and, you know, when we get back in the field, I think there'll be a lot more eaten up for this next weekend, too.
I think I saw we had about 3.5 tenths or something like that here in Urbana-Champaign. In your area, how much rainfall?
I think, you know, we were just a little more than that. We were just shy of a half inch around here. You know, we won't be doing beans again till at least tomorrow afternoon. We get some sun and a little wind out there. But, you know, wouldn't be surprised to see the combines rolling tomorrow in the cornfields.
What do you suppose in the marketplace might be of interest to traders, to those that are just watching? For instance, the QE2 may end here pretty shortly. Will that have an impact?
Well, I think that's one of the things that has probably helped this market. I think there was people getting out of some of their financials, some of their energies and like that. And we're seeing some money that wasn't in the greens to start the year that has come in the last month here that way, Todd. So, you know, that along the way has helped pump up these prices right now.
And when producers call in, what is their most frequent question for you this week?
Have we made the bottom, number one, and number two, when is this rally going to stop? Where do I need to sell?
So, both of which you say, if I knew, you wouldn't be talking to me.
both of them I say that, you know, I've been so rather confused with a lot of things that have happened over the week. We've seen, you know, a much bigger technical bounce from the money inflow. And, you know, it's been very confusing to a lot of the fundamental traders as we look at this bean meal. Just the displacement of where the supply is raising the futures like that. That's generally done with the basis. And basically by buying the board doesn't ensure getting your product to the area that needs to be in. So, you know, if it had been that way, well, we could have moved corn out of the Dakotas a lot faster too, but it doesn't work that way.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We do appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. You can hear him again, if you'd like, on our website at willag.org. In fact, all of our daily programming is put there about 15 minutes after it airs on our radio stations. The address, willag.org. Yesterday, the United States Department of Agriculture, after 3 o'clock in the afternoon Central Time, released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that as of the 26th day of October, that was Sunday, 46% of the corn crop had been harvested around the nation. The rolling five-year average is 65%. A week ago, that number was 31%, so 15% of the crop was harvested in just 1 week. And last year, 56% of the crop had been harvested at this same time. The corn condition remains good at 50% good and 24% excellent, the same as the previous week. Just to have them in order, and we'll hear these numbers in just a minute, Illinois is 59% harvested, normally 72%. Indiana at 44% for corn, normally 60% on the rolling five-year average. Iowa just 36% complete. The rolling five-year average there is 65%. Minnesota farmers, this is the number four producing state in the nation, 41% complete, normally 63%. And Nebraska is 92% complete in harvest. Normally it's at 97%. Taking a look at the soybean harvest around the 18 reporting states, 70% complete now. 76% is the rolling five-year average. We jumped from 53%, by the way, in the previous week to 70% this week. So a 17% jump in soybean harvest. 75% was harvested at this time last year. Now here are the state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa with updates from their regions.
This is Katie Andel, Agricultural Statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending October 26, 2014. Above-average temperatures and mostly dry weather allowed harvest to progress at a normal pace during the 5.1 days suitable for field work this week. Iowa experienced mild temperatures this week with a low of 27 degrees at Elkader on Sunday the 26th and a high of 78 degrees at Sioux City on Friday. Temperatures for the week averaged 5.1 degrees above normal. Light to moderate rain fell over most of the state from Wednesday to Thursday. Very light rain also occurred Friday across northeast and east central Iowa. Total rain for the week varied from sprinkles in extreme southeast Iowa to 1.18 inches at Council Bluffs. Average precipitation for the week was 0.35 inches, almost a quarter inch below normal. Unchanged from last week at the state level, topsoil moisture levels rated 96% adequate to surplus, while subsoil moisture rated 94% adequate to surplus. With almost all of Iowa's corn acreage mature, harvest was 36% complete, 6 days behind 2013 and 16 days behind the five-year average. 77% of the corn crop was reported in good to excellent condition. Soybean harvest reached 81% complete, 2 days behind last year and 4 days behind normal. Many farmers across the state were still waiting for the replanted soybeans to mature. Pasture condition rated 65% good to excellent, while hay and roughage supplies were estimated at 97% adequate to surplus. Livestock conditions were excellent and a few cattle were turned out on corn stock fields. This is Katie Annell reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I am reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, October 26. Illinois crop producers got some cooperation from Mother Nature last week. Rainfall was near zero and temperatures were above normal. That allowed farmers to make significant progress on harvesting crops and planting winter wheat. Most locations received less than 1/10 of an inch of rain, and the state average rainfall was 3/100 of an inch, more than 6/10 of an inch below normal. Temperatures were 1.6 degrees above average for the week. Corn harvest jumped 16 points last week, and soybean harvest increased by 26 points. Currently, corn harvest stands at 59% complete, compared to 71% 1 year ago and 72% for the five-year average. The condition of the crop was rated as 4% of acres in very poor or poor condition, 13% fair, and 83% in good or excellent condition. Soybean harvest is now 63% complete, compared to 83% last year and 77% normally. The condition of that crop was rated as 4% of acres in very poor or poor condition, 16% fair, and 80% in good or excellent condition. Sorghum harvest reached 57% complete, compared to 79% 1 year ago and 69% normally. Winter wheat planting advanced 19 points and is now 41% finished. Planting progress is well behind last year's 86% and the five-year average of 75%. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Heartland Region.
This is Jessica Klatt with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service, with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending October 26, 2014. The dry weather kept farmers very busy this week as they pushed to catch up on fall harvest. Average temperatures for the week ranged from 46 to 56 degrees, and from 4 degrees below to 4 degrees above normal. The lowest recorded temperature for the week was 26 degrees, the highest 81 degrees. The statewide average temperature for the week was 51.8 degrees, which is 0.5 degrees above normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 0.27 inches, with a statewide average of 0.07 inches. Corn harvested for grain was 44% complete, compared to 57% last year and 60% five-year average. By region, corn harvested for grain was 39% in the north, 38% in central, and 68% in the south. Soybeans harvested was 50% finished, versus 76% last year and 75% five-year average. By region, soybeans harvested was 51% in the north, 49% in central, and 51% in the south. Winter wheat was 67% planted, compared to 80% last year and 75% five-year average. By region, winter wheat planted was 73% in the north, 59% in central, and 66% in the south. Winter wheat was 36% emerged, versus 48% last year and 39% five-year average. By region, winter wheat emerged was 52% in the north, 32% in central, and 25% in the south. Corn and soybean harvest progressed nicely this week, although both are still behind last year. More winter wheat was planted as soybeans and corn are moved off the fields. Several fields have rut damage from the prolonged rainy weather, and farmers have begun to move livestock to winter pastureland, which remains in good condition. Other activities for the week included hauling grain to elevators and working fields after harvest. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending October 26, 2014. This is Jessica Klatt reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa for their weekly updates of what's been happening in their parts of the world. Hey, have you purchased your tickets yet? I hope so. But if not, for our Farm Assets Conference is a really good one coming up on the 24th day of November. We'll be in Bloomington Normal at the Marriott on the Illinois State University campus. Our program includes keynote presentations on land values, crop insurance under the new Farm Bill, and the ARC PLC decision, along with marketing panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. The lunch and parking is included for the $25 ticket, and it all happens on the 24th day of November. No doubt you'll be finished farming by then. You should join us if you can in Bloomington. I think it's going to be a really great day. A lot of really good information, just $25. Buy your ticket online right now at willag.org or at 800-898-1065. Both of those are on our website at willag.org. You can purchase the tickets there securely online if you'd want, or again, call 800-898-1065. University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Farmers across the Midwest will be harvesting one of their largest crops, if not the largest corn and soybean crops on record this fall. However, their gross revenues will fall short of recent years. Gary Schnittke has taken that up in an article he posted to the FarmDoc Daily website. He titled it Projected Corn Gross Revenues Down in 2014 and 2015. Thanks for taking the time with us, Gary. Tell me about the article.
All right, we looked at gross revenue and we looked at projections from 2014 and 2015 and compare them to the recent past. And we did this for Northern Illinois, although it would be the same for any part of Illinois. We're projecting revenue in 2014 of $808 per acre for Northern Illinois. And that's down considerably from the previous 3 years, 2011, 12, and 13, when we had an average of a little over $1,100 an acre. So we're coming down close to $300 an acre from the last 3 years.
And what are your revenue projections for 2015?
Yeah, 2015, we're projecting those revenues to be lower at this point. And the reason for that is twofold. One is for 2014, we're using 220 bushels for Northern Illinois as our corn yield, multiplying that by a 340 projected price. 2015, we're projecting yields go back to something closer to normal, and we're at 195. Price goes up to 380, but it still results in lower revenue in 2015. 15 compared to 2014.
Do you draw any conclusions in the article about what producers might need to do going forward?
Well, obviously two things. One is we're going into a period where we have to make adjustments, and those adjustments include everything from lowering cash rents to cutting capital purchases to really looking hard at fertilizer seed expenses and looking at family living expenses as well. And also realizing that we're in a period where we're not likely to get any additional aid from government programs. What we've seen in place, put in place in the 2014 Farm Bill, is what is likely there. And that support is likely less than the previous period, 2000 to 2004.
This article, Gary, includes a really interesting graphic. You can find it again on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Can you tell me about the graphic and gross revenues that you project and show in it?
Graphic gives actual revenue from 2000 to 2013 for corn grown in northern Illinois. It includes three components for each year: crop revenue, government payments, and also crop insurance payments. So those three components go into crop revenue or gross revenue each year, and then we make projections for 2014 and 2015. Crop revenue has gone up since 2006 because of higher prices, higher corn prices, slightly almost a doubling of corn prices in 2006 onward compared to 2000 to 2005. The other thing that you'll note is that government payments were higher during the 2000 to 2005 period. They averaged about $62 an acre compared to about $20-$22 for the last several years. And we're projecting payments at about $40 an acre for 2014. So that'd be higher than it was in the past couple years, but we're having lower gross revenues now, so the counter-cyclical part of it's working, but it still will be less than the 2000 to 2005 period.
I believe there's one plot line that you have not put across this particular graphic, but you plan to later in this week, correct?
Yeah, what we're going to do is we've laid out what gross revenues is. The next thing we're going to add to that graph is total cost, a line that shows what total cost have done. Total cost have increased dramatically since the 2000, and what's increased dramatically. The other thing that's interesting about it is, or interesting is, might not be the right word, but 2014 and 2015, we're projecting losses, gross revenue being less than total cost. There was one other year where that happened since 2000. That was 2009, and it was a modest loss of about $3. But the losses we're looking at are in the $100 range for 2014 and 2015, which will erode liquidity fairly quickly. So we're going to have to begin. We're going to have to make adjustments now, given the period and the prices that we're looking at.
Gary Schnittke is a farm management specialist at the University of Illinois. You can read the article posted to the website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Chocolate Day. It's also Feast of Simon the Apostle, patron of sawmen and tanners. On this day in agricultural history in 1793, Eli Whitney applied for a patent for his cotton gin. Long staple cotton, which was easy to separate from its seeds, could only be grown along the coast. The one variety that grew inland had sticky green seeds that were time-consuming to pick out of the fluffy white cotton balls. Whitney solved the problem, but he charged farmers a fee for the ginning, 2/5 of the profits paid in cotton. That exorbitant rate caused planters to come up with their own versions of Whitney's gin and claimed they were new inventions. Whitney sued owners of the pirated versions, but due to a loophole in the wording of the 1793 patent law, he lost. It would be years before a change in patent laws made his claims of piracy enforceable. But by then, it was too late for Whitney to make much money off the device. In 1886, the Statue of Liberty was officially unveiled and dedicated in New York Harbor. And in 1916, Cleveland Abbey died. Abbey was an astronomer and meteorologist and is considered the father of the U.S. Weather Bureau. The Weather Bureau was authorized by Congress in 1870. The Bureau was originally placed under the Secretary of War and later the Department of Agriculture. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Now let's check the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. He's in Kansas City.
Weather conditions across the Midwest are expected to be mostly favorable as we move through this next week to 10 days with not much change in the outlook relative to that of yesterday. We do have three weather systems that will be marching across the region during this period of time, but neither one of them will likely have a big impact on farming activity. There will be some brief delays to field work because of the light rainfall that comes with each event. But we are not expecting to see any one of those events produce enough heavy rainfall to delay farming activity for more than a few hours to a half of day. We will look for the temperatures to stay in a seasonable range for a while longer. The temperatures will actually work their way a little bit further above average across parts of a larger portion of the Midwest as we go through this next few day period. It has been warmer biased in the western Corn Belt for a while, and the eastern areas, though, have been kept fairly mild. Now the pattern is going to change long enough to allow for some of the warmer air to work its way eastward for a little while. The temperatures on Saturday afternoon will be seasonable, running in the 60s north and the 70s south, which is actually still a little bit warmer biased, but in a more seasonable range, I suppose, for some locations. Temperatures will turn a little bit cooler as we move towards the first part of next week in the western Corn Belt, but otherwise the eastern areas should continue to be warm through the weekend and into the early part of the week. Our lowest temperatures at night should not drop much lower than some 30s in the northwestern portions of the Corn Belt. Otherwise, 40s and even some lower 50s will occur periodically across the region. Certainly southern areas will likely be warmest during this period of time. Our three weather events that are going to come into the region are expected to have a minor role to play. As I mentioned before, the first disturbance is already present in the western Corn Belt. The precipitation, though, that does occur is expected to have a problem with holding together as it crosses the Mississippi Basin. We'll likely see most of the eastern Midwest totally unaffected by this storm system. It will end up staying dry in those areas, which is important because Ohio, Michigan, and parts of Indiana, even Kentucky, have had a little bit of a cool and moist bias for a number of days, and they do need to dry down in a more significant manner. Our second weather system to impact the region should come into play Sunday through Tuesday. This event will be focused on the upper portions of the Midwest, and it looks as though rainfall will be most significant from Minnesota to Michigan. Those areas will likely end up with perhaps a quarter to three-quarters of an inch of moisture. The lower parts of the Midwest will only get a few spits and spats of moisture with not much more than a quarter to a half inch of precipitation resulting, and the distribution of those amounts will be relatively low. After that system disappears, we'll have another chance for a few showers showing up at the end of next week and early into the following weekend. It now looks like that system will be much weaker than previously thought.
That's Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, helping us to wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.